here with the very worldly, and he is that, Roger Badish, the author of the book, The Unplanned Life, The Journey of Roger Badish. Hello, Mr. Badish.
You know, I am so excited that I am the opening act for Potsy. That's what I'm excited about.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, and I did read the book, and I learned a lot about Roger Badish. But what you didn't really explain, and it's that radio question I'm sure you've asked every guest who's ever written a book.
Sure.
But why did you write a book?
I was told I should.
Okay. So jump into the lake, Roger. Are you going to do that? I mean, something still must have motivated you.
I had a lot of time on my hand.
Yes.
My wife told me to get out of her way and go in the other room and do something productive.
Well, Bridget probably tells you that on a daily basis. What?
Oh, so let's, please, hourly.
So let's go through some of this. As a kid, you had like four. I didn't even know that you could fracture knuckles. You had every injury I think anyone can ever have.
I was an accident looking for a place to happen. Seriously. Let's see.
Until
scorched eye.
Yeah.
Blinded eye, temporarily, rocks in the eye. Busted knuckles on my right hand from trying to do a diving somersault, and I dove, but didn't do the somersault. fractured wrist. Not from anything, not like in a fight or anything like that, but falling out of a tree. Just a whole bunch of other, nicks and cuts and running into the back of the old fashioned milk trucks. You remember those?
Not really.
No, I don't. I've got you by at least 50 years.
But Roger.
We used to have milk trucks, and I ran into the back of one once.
It seems the accidents began to happen when you became associated with the old Playboy Club. Tell me what that place was like.
No, I just became absent-minded. I was distracted.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, it was. I started out working there, cleaning up in places.
What do you mean by that?
And I didn't clean up financially, but just sweeping and mopping and working in the kitchen up in one of the club rooms. This is when the Playboy Club moved to Michigan Avenue in the old Palmolive Building and the Knickerbocker Hotel. Used to be all part of the Playboy domain in Chicago. So the club was in the Palmolive Building, and there were several different small little club rooms there, and in one of them was a kitchen, and I used to wash dishes, or at least put the dishes in the dishwashing machine, and then go clean up rooms and stuff. One of the rooms that I was told to clean before it was occupied was the locker room for the bunnies. And I went in one day and with my mop and my broom and my bucket, and I cleaned the room and got it all nice and ready and then left and did other rooms. And about an hour or so later, I said, wow, where's my mop? Honest to goodness, you may doubt me. There may be doubt in your voice, but I honestly said, where's my mop? I says, let me retrace my steps. Well, my steps retracing took me back into the bunny locker room. Unbeknownst to my my focused eyes,
yes,
looking for the mop, there were bunnies or ladies on either side of me as I walked into the room towards the back thinking, well, this is where I left my bucket. Honest to goodness, I didn't realize who else was in the room until I was almost out the door, and a young lady said, next time, knock. I swear to God, I remember it like it was today, like it was this morning. And I walked out the door, and it didn't even, I stopped for a brief second as I'm reaching for the door handle. I said, oh, okay, and I didn't even look back to see who it was. And I got outside. I was so focused on finding that mop that I didn't realize what was going on. all of the bunnies had arrived and were in various stages of dressing in their costumes. And the funny thing is after work, I usually got off around, oh, I don't know, 2-3 in the morning. We would, I and several of the bunnies would go over to the old disco nightclub on Rush Street called Faces. Yeah. And we'd go in there and hang out. Of course, I wasn't old enough at the time, but I looked older for my age. So we had a good time. This went on for on and off for about 4 years while I was going to college.
What was the vibe of that Playboy club, aside from the
bunnies? It was awesome. It was awesome. Not only was the club, we're talking early 70s. The clubs were jammed, but then on the top floor of the club space, they had the performance lounge. And all of the comedians, jazz artists of the early 70s would perform in there. Gabe Kaplan would do his comedy routine up there. And so after my shift, I eventually got promoted out of the kitchen to the front desk of the hotel. And after I get done with my shift, I'd walk through the basement of the hotel and then up into the club area, and the security guards knew who I was and they'd let me in, and I'd sit in the back table and we would watch Gabe Kaplan, Mama Cass Elliott performed there for a while before she passed away. It was wonderful.
Did you meet any of those folks? Don't answer that yet. I want to know. A listener, actually, we have several listener telephone calls for you with some questions. And I want to know what it was like to work for Jane Byrne and radio legends that you worked with, all in your book, The Unplanned Life, The Journey of Roger Badish. You know what I'm doing now. I'm taking a commercial break, right?
Yeah, you're good at teasing.
Yeah, well, I'll tease you anytime, Roger.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Roger's going to go drink a margarita. Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. We're talking with our own Roger Badish. The Unplanned Life, The Journey of Roger Badish. Roger, apparently you owe some people money. We have one of those calls right now, and we have several here. This is taxi driver Bob. Roger owes you from the last fare, is that it?
No, he does not. But, you know, Roger said he was prone to getting injured or, you know, having things go wrong. I was just kind of wondering, that one winter when he got stuck on Lakeshore Drive, did he get his pride hurt that year, or what?
I to this day and to my grave, I will continue to say, it was not my fault.
Sterling was telling everybody for a whole week that we were going to have that storm.
Wait a minute. If I wasn't listening, what about the thousands of other people on the drive in front and behind me who weren't listening? How about the two CPA drivers whose buses got stranded?
What do you do for a living on WGN?
Yeah.
Report the news.
Yeah, Roger.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
To my defense, I was a full-time teacher at the time, and I had a passenger that I had to get home. There you go.
I don't buy any of that either. Bob, thank you very much. Thank you for calling. So I do want to know, you have done a lot of things. You've taught, and you worked for Mayor Jane Byrne in a variety of different roles. What was that like, and what was she like?
My experience with her was she was wonderful. She was a delightful person, very conscientious, loved her city, and had a lot of forces against her as mayor of the city. Actually, it probably goes back to her time as in the I'm trying to remember the department she was commissioner in while the Elder Daily was still alive, Consumer Services. So our association kind of began when I was still working at Q101 Radio as a reporter back in 79-80. And I used to call her home every morning before I would go to my desk over at City Hall in the press room. And I would try to get a comment from her. I would be in the the station was owned by NBC at the time over at the Merchandise Mart. Mm-hmm. I would go in there first and do a phone call and record an interview with her. Some mornings there was nothing to call her about. There was no local news. Other mornings, Jay McMullen, her husband, would answer the phone and say, she's busy. She'll call you later. And I would wait for her to call back. Sometimes I was late and I went straight to City Hall. So that's where our association began. And when a number of reporters and staff were laid off by NBC at Q101, I was looking for another job. I was freelancing at other radio stations in town. And then I applied over at City Hall in their press office and was hired. I actually started in the Streets and Sanitation Department the Department of Inspectional Services.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had to have someone to pave the streets.
Yes, and someone to pick up the trash.
And someone to pick up the trash. Yeah, definitely.
That's
I'd
important.
Walk up and down the streets. They have machines now that do it, but I used to go out with my broom to clean up.
back
so
to Mayor Byrne.
That's how our association began, and yep. I eventually moved over. And my first job in the press office was as photo editor. So every time someone wanted to take a picture with the mayor, I would be on call and have to go in and supervise it, and then in charge of making sure the best picture was sent out to local community media.
What's the difference between covering City Hall right now and covering, and I'm not talking about specifically Lori Lightfoot, just covering covering the news essentially today as opposed to back at the time when you were covering news in a very different way. And these, you still cover news, obviously, but in a very different way.
Mm-hmm. Well, the biggest difference is technology. Back then, we had huge two-way radios covering a live event. I remember covering a St. Patrick's Day parade for Q101 in communication with the radio station, because all we could do back then is find either a pay phone or if someone would offer their own a landline in a business or something. So I had a two-way radio. Problem was, it was like 20 below zero for that parade, and the battery on the two-way radio went out. It just got too cold. So there's no way to stay in touch. Now, I'm talking on my cell phone, and it doesn't get cold. It stays on forever, and it's compact. And plus, I can look up on the internet. I can get background information. I could see what's going on in the world. Back then, you couldn't as a street reporter. I can record onto my phone now. Back then, we had large equipment that we had to carry around with us to do interviews with and record stories on. So technology has changed tremendously. The job of getting the news, finding the news, And news is stuff that's going on that's out of the ordinary. That's my point of view and always has been. In other words, if I walk down the block and you see me walk down the block every day for the last 365 days at exactly the same time, that's not news. But the time you don't see me and it goes on for a few days and you don't see me, now you wonder what's going on. That's news, possibly. So things that seem out of the ordinary. In the city of Chicago, any city around here, any village, what do you expect the city to do with your tax dollars? Keep your streets clean, pick up your garbage, make sure your water is turned on, anything the city has purview over. You expect it to happen just naturally. When it doesn't happen naturally, then we have to go in and inspect and investigate and ask questions and find out. So we ask the questions the public wants to ask. And we try to get the answers that the public deserves.
Well, I would say the same is true for host of radio shows like this. You're very open in the book, The Unplanned Life, The Journey of Roger Badish, about health issues.
Yeah. Well, I always considered myself healthy. Either that, I was too stupid to realize that I was getting older and the body doesn't work at 50 the way it does at 20.
Really?
But then, even though it had been in my family, both heart problems and cancer, I was too focused on everyday life to to think this might happen, to maybe try preventative medicine, like go in and keep getting checked for cancer years before it hit me. I wasn't even thinking about that. And so when it hit me, I don't know why, but I just approached it from, all right, this is going to be over soon, and I'm getting back on with what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it hit me for a loop. There are still things from it, especially from the chemo, that still kind of affect me every day, other than the fact that I'm getting older now. It's been over 6 years since my operation and the chemo. But I think, as any cancer patient can tell you, there are residual things that affect you as you move on and move past it.
Is it, but Roger, is it the psychological residual things more than the physical, or is it the physical you're referring to?
For me, right now it's physical. I'm more aware of the cancer, and yes, from time to time, fear comes into me that it might come back, and I might not be able to finish all those things I still want to do, whatever it may be. But for the most part, I'm just out living life. Now, my cancer, there are some very evident physical remnants of it. Mine was bladder cancer. So I have a routine I have to go through, as most bladder cancer patients do, every 4 days, and I'm aware of it. Is it bothering me? Is it keeping me from getting out and doing stuff? No. I'm still out there golfing, playing softball, working, you know, moving furniture.
Moving
all that
furniture.
Stuff.
That was you that I saw with the big truck the other day. We have 30 seconds and no more. What is the lesson people can learn from reading your book?
Live life. Be joyful as much as possible. Know that you can move forward, and that people enrich people. And you really need to take that to heart. And it's a lesson that I'm still learning.
Well put. Roger Badish, The Unplanned Life, The Journey of Roger Badish, WGN's own. Thank you so much, Roger.
Thank you very much, Steve.